Office Wife. The story of the girl who married her boss and of the girl who took over. Harry Palmer opens the next chapter of Office Wife.
Oh, Bendigo's just had me on the carpet again. This time about my whereabouts on January the 16th. It was not as bad as you might think. Oh, admittedly, Pilgrim scraped through the court case, but he's by no means cleared. And if he gets any sort of a job in this town again besides ditch digging, I'll be very much surprised. I've been keeping away from Marcia till her Uncle Tressida calms down. As he will. He's gone stampeding off to see Angela Tennant. Oh, how I hope she does her stuff.
My dear Mr. Bendigo, this is becoming quite a habit with you. What is it this time?
Our mutual acquaintance, Harry Palmer, madam. I'm sorry to keep badgering you, but I've no choice in the matter. Can you recall last January the 16th? It was a Friday, I believe.
Why, no, not particularly.
I wish you could. Were you in town or away by any chance?
No, I was away in the middle of January, actually.
Well, where?
At Mount Greenbrier. Really, Mr. Bendigo, I don't mind an inquisition, but I do wish you'd tell me what's going on.
I'm sorry. As I said, I have no choice. I want to know if you saw Harry Palmer at Mount Greenbrier in the afternoon of the 16th.
I don't remember. Just a minute, I'll get my diary. The 16th, you said. Here we are. Good Lord. I'd completely forgotten. Listen to this. Went to station to meet Justin Harries and Maggie Crane. Train pulling out. And along came Harry Palmer, running like a hare to catch the late train back to town. Too bad I hadn't known he was there. I don't suppose you're interested in that.
So Palmer was definitely at Mount Greenbrier that day.
Well, he was there at 5 o'clock. I'm certain of that.
I see. And that removes count one. It was nothing but a coincidence. Now, we only have to investigate that infernal letter.
I beg your pardon?
Just thinking aloud, Mrs. Tennant. Well, I'll be getting along. I really must ask you to forgive these intrusions. I assure you, this will be the last.
Oh, why, not at all. If you'd let me know earlier that you were coming in, I'd have had a drink ready for you.
No, very kind of you, I'm sure. Good evening.
Good evening, Mr. Bendigo.
Baggage.
I've been expecting a call from you, Tressida. Take a seat.
Thanks. What did you make of the trial?
Well, from Pilgrim's point of view, I'd say it was very satisfactory. But I thought the judge put the arm on that fellow Palmer, but...
That's why I've been chasing all over town like a scalded cat. I suspended the chapter, you know.
How would I?
I cut up one point against him last night. He couldn't have taken that Port Kensita address himself. That's definite. Now, what about the letter the Bronson woman said she found in Palmer's desk?
So much hoopla. She was making it up as she went along.
She was, eh? How do you know?
I don't like having to admit this, Tressida, but that girl fooled me completely. Bamboozled me into signing a sheet of blank paper.
Well, I'll be hanged, just as Palmer said. What are you doing about her? Having a charge with perjury?
No.
Why not? Where is she?
She's still here.
Well, you're not going to let the little crook get away with a thing like that, are you?
She's getting away with it, and she's no crook.
Well, confound it, Benny, what's the matter with you? Pilgrim would have gone to prison. This makes it 100% certain. When I walked out of the courtroom the day before yesterday, I was saying to myself, by jingo, Bendigo, you could be wrong, but not now.
I don't want to quarrel with you, Bendigo, but nothing's being done about the Bronson girl. No legal action, I mean.
I don't get you, Benny.
Why should you? It's none of your business.
I consider it is my business. The bonder is married to my niece goes free on the strength of the Bronson girl's lies. And you say it's none of my business. If you're not having her charged, what are you doing?
That's none of your business either. She works for me. Better resign yourself to it, Bendigo, because if you take any action off your own bat, I'll fight you.
You must be off your head.
Your man Palmer's in the clear. Why not leave it at that? What purpose are you going to serve hounding Pilgrim and Stella Bronson any further? Forget the whole thing. I'd take it as a personal favor if you would forget it.
Well, there's not much else I can do.
Okay. Shake.
You're an odd chap, Benny. And you're even keeping the girl here in your firm.
I think I'll be keeping her around.
Isn't it the same thing?
Well, no. Not exactly.
That's the story as I have it, Palmer. I suppose I owe you an apology.
Well, that's not necessary, sir. If I'd been in your shoes, I'd have done the same thing myself.
Well, I'm glad you take that view. All right, then. Let's see you at your desk at 9 in the morning, eh? From now on, the Puller account is yours for as long as you want to handle it. And I wish you luck.
Oh, thank you, sir.
With Puller's expansion underway, you're going to be a busy man. What do you want now?
$1,200 a year, sir.
No bonuses?
Well, there's been no mention of them, Mr. Bendigo.
Well, I'll fix that. And the job you'll be doing is worth a couple of hundred extra. You can count on 28 a week and bonuses from the first of next month.
Oh, I say, sir, that's very generous. Thank you very much.
That's all right. See that you earn it. There's nothing more for us to discuss now, is there?
There's a... Well, it's a personal matter. I'd like to mention, Mr. Bendigo, if you wouldn't mind.
Far away.
I've known Master for years, sir, and we've always been jolly good friends. She needs someone around now, and I know she's planning to divorce Jeff.
What's this leading up to, Palmer?
Well, sir, I'd like to be as much help to Marcia as I possibly can, and, well, I don't want to be seeing her without your approval. I mean, when all's said and done, she's still married, and I'd hate you to think I was doing the wrong thing.
It's very commendable. Yes. Well, I don't hold with a lot of so-called modern ideas, Palmer. But on the other hand, I'm not one of these Victorian patriarchs either. Marcia will need some company. If she's happy about it, you needn't worry about me looking down my nose.
Well, then I'm glad I brought the matter up, sir.
So am I. Well, that's it. See you in the morning.
Good evening, sir.
Oh, I just thought of something. What are you doing tonight?
Nothing at all, sir.
Come to dinner, if you like. 6:30. You needn't dress. Master, Miss Bendigo, be glad to have you.
That's very kind, sir. Thank you very much.
6:30, then. Don't be late.
Rub your hands together, Palmer, old boy. Now you're cooking with gas. Marcia, my puppet, here I come.
I saw Tressica Bendigo this afternoon, Miss Bronson. Stella, I should say. So there's no need to keep you in suspense any longer. You've been waiting to hear what's in store for you, eh?
Naturally, Mr. Puller.
Well, sit down. This is going to take some time, Stella. You expect Jeff Pilgrim to marry you when he gets his divorce?
I don't expect. I hope.
I don't think he will. Your affection for that chap is strictly one-way traffic. Oh, sure. He'll be grateful to you, but do you want to marry a man out of gratitude?
This is not exactly flattering.
I'm appealing to your good sense, and here's another thing. Jeff Pilgrim's washed up.
Why should he be? He was acquitted, wasn't he?
Yes, but what an acquittal. Everything left up in the air. Palmer's in the clear. That leaves Pilgrim and you. I keep my ear to the business ground, Stella, and there's not a firm in this town that'd give Jeff Pilgrim a job cleaning the inkwells.
I don't care.
But you have to care. Pilgrim will leave here soon. What are you going to do then? Chase after him?
I haven't thought that far ahead, Mr. Puller.
Listen, Stella. You and I get along pretty well. Not just as the boss and one of the staff. Better than that. Do you think we could get to know each other better still?
You asking me to...
Yes, Stella. I'm asking you to put this other chap out of your head and marry me. I'm not a young man, my dear, but I have a lot to offer.
What if I say no? Is marrying you a condition of being let off for perjuring myself over that letter?
Oh, don't be a fool, girl. What do you take me for? A bluebeard? That's over and done with, and I hope never to hear it mentioned again. I don't expect you to say yes or no right now, but if I couldn't make you happy, I'd have a darn good try.
Mr. Fuller, you're very kind, and I'm terribly grateful, but I just couldn't marry you.
52's getting too old for you, is it?
No, not for a minute. I like you. I like you enormously. And if it wasn't for Jeff Pilgrim, Mr. Fuller, I can't help myself. That man's under my skin.
You'll get nothing but unhappiness there, Stella.
I can't help it. If there was any chance of him going back to his wife, I'd cut my losses and be proud. If you'd take me, knowing I had only admiration and respect and affection, but not love.
You'd marry me if you weren't sure of Pilgrim? You'd marry me if he stuck to his wife?
Yes, Betty. I really think I would.
So that's the way it is, eh? Well, one thing's certain. Pilgrim won't have a reconciliation with his wife unless someone keeps him around. It's a gamble. But how can you win if you don't take a chance? I'm going to play this the only way I can. Hard, close, and for keeps. I'm going to marry that girl.
We invite you to listen to further episodes of Office Wife, written by L.J. Hardy, a Donovan Joyce production.